Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
We saw the Creed brothers and DIY arrive at Raw at the same time, although it wasn't the same time, because they had individual clocks in the corner of the screen, and they were showing different times. And I started to freak out, because I was like, well, how am I meant to deal with this? Why is everybody turning up at different times? Then I realized it didn't matter at all. Maybe I'm losing my mind. But wouldn't you lose your mind in 2024? What does that mean? I don't know. Let's up those doubts. Jey Uso had also decided he didn't want to wait around, given that Raw had kicked off, so who came to the ring? Obviously, it was Jey Uso. Who else would it have been? It is just him, Uso, and as Michael Cole noted, oh, hi, we are getting Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso at WrestleMania, and it's only the third time it happened. Number one was Bret versus Owen, and number two was Matt versus Jeff. We are definitely in a new era, or maybe you could say, we are not in Toto anymore, Kansas. Jey had also been surveying the building, which means it is a bit weird, and he knows the Bloodline is in the arena, so he said, you better come out here right now. And they're very nice people because they did come through the crowd. Jimbo wasn't alone. He was with Solo Sikoa. That's just the way. Now, Jey went full babyface here because he was like, Jimmy, man, you're my bro, and I do miss you. You may have been a bit of a goober, but I want you to come back to me. Now, Jimmy was pretty offended by this. He's like, man, you listen to me. I was always with you, especially when you decided to leave the Bloodline. I was like, wait a minute, Jimmy. You left the Bloodline first. You super kicked Roman Reigns right in the face. Unless there was a conversation behind the scenes when Jey was planting thoughts in your brain, but we didn't see any of that. I started staring off into the distance. Because when these things happen, I always question myself. I'm like, I must be wrong. I don't think I am. He also claimed that all of Jey's singles success and the biggest moment of his career was down to Jimmo. I was a bit like, man, what an arrogant Alan you really are. And Jey Uso agreed. He was really pissed. But this is mostly because the actual biggest moment of his career will come at WrestleMania 40. When he knocks the yeet out of his ass. Now, very sadly, I've been thinking about this all morning, and I've decided I don't want to know what that means. Jey then smacked his brother because it was done with him, but of course Solo got in the ring quicker than you can say, why don't you wear a hoodie? When, yes, Cody Rhodes made to Kane the save. It was gibberish, just came out of my mouth. And I love it when new WWE does this. It just goes to show people remember. They remember their friends like a telltale game. He also hit a Cody cutter while wearing a suit, which I always enjoy. Apart from that one line, which I'm still baffled about, both Usos cooked here. Am I excited about their match? Yes, I am. I still think that you could probably throw some kind of stipulation in there too, although it is round one, then maybe we're going to get a round two. But in terms of kicking off the show, forget it up. They've got a video reminding you that it is going to be Becky Lynch versus Nia Jax in our main event, and this last woman standing will be cut to Adam Pearce. He was just shouting at someone on the phone. I like to think he was going, yes, I know. I thought Jimmy Uso left first too. Now in reality, he was definitely telling Nick Aldis, why did you let these idiots come to Raw? When Paul Heyman walked in, and he spun a yarn. He was all like, the Bloodline did not authorize that attack. And that's all. I was like, if anyone believes that, let me tell you about this jolly man that comes around every year and kind of sneaks into your house and does weird things. He also promised that Jimmy and Solo had left the building. Once again, I was like, well, if you believe that, you believe baldness is a choice. But you know what? They didn't actually return. Paul Heyman was telling the truth. Heyman also did some more teasing here, essentially to tell you where you better keep watching the show. And I'll say this, his announcement wasn't like that big of a deal, but it was still pretty good. We'll get to it. It was then time to continue the build to WrestleMania, though, so we had one of these tag team six-pack ladder match entry bouts, or something like that. But it was DIY versus the Creeds. This was flabbing brilliant. It was also nice to see the Creeds back because they had vanished without Trace. And even though DIY started off with all these dives, eventually Julius and Brutus just started doing the offense. I told you once, I told you 1,000 times, it was basically this. Ah! and it's so damn entertaining. Julius even did a suplex from the kneeling position, which is absolutely bonkers, when he called in his bro, and they both did standing moonsaults. Like it was nothing. I try and get some bread and I break my foot. These dudes doing flippy dippy doo da. Johnny Gargano then saved Tommaso Ciampa from the Brutus Ball, but people were still being thrown into Allen the announce table. But thankfully, by this point, John had warmed up his hand and he got the hot tag. Ciampa also took a med pack so he was able to hit an avalanche air raid crash when everybody started slugging it out. This Julius Creed. He applied an ankle lock, and when Gargano ran at him, he gave him a one-arm powerbomb. I was like, bro, you are the epitome of 2 + 2 = potato. You are never going to make sense, but my word, are you going to go far. We were then getting all the double submissions, because why wouldn't you do that, when Ciampa tried for the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment, the surprise roll-up, but it sucked to be him on this evening. Didn't work. Gargano then saw that Brutus was trying to get involved, so he got rid of him. And because in the ring, we were getting a bunch of surprise roll-ups, Johnny saw Judas doing this, and he super-kicked him. Tommaso was like, well, that will work, because it reversed the polarity, like it is Back to the Future 4. The long and the short of it is that they did get the 1-2-3. DIY are heading to WrestleMania, which is over there, point on the side. We absolutely do have defeat to the Creed for 4-2, even though I'm sweating by the end of their match. It's like, oh my gosh, thank goodness we made it through. I just had such a good time. Most definitely getting it up. Andrade was then chatting to the Judgment Day next, and I think he does have a match in 7 days' time, and they are going to be keeping an eye on him. I suppose either one of two things is going to happen. One, he'll join, or two, and I'll pick this one. He probably eventually starts feuding with Dominic Mysterio. Damian Priest arrived at the end of this too, and he didn't give a damn about any of it, because he looked at JD McDonald and was like, oh, look who it is, the guy that totally screwed up last week. Rhea Ripley also felt the same and basically called him a massive goober, but was like, it's all right, because you know who's going to sort your mess after you did lose to Ricochet. Dominic Mysterio. Dom clearly had no idea about this. He was like, wait, what? I don't want to do it. He pretended like it was fine, though, and that he was going to go to Adam Pearce with JD McDonough and get this sorted. But of course, we'll be having that match later. When we had a very strange women's tag match. Now, I've said it once and I'll say it twice right now. I am really happy we are finally telling stories within the women's tag team division that doesn't involve the titles. When you do start doing that and you start sprinkling stuff around, by proxy, all of us fans start to go, I better start caring more. It was Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell taking on Katana Chance and Kaylin Carter. In about 3 seconds, Katana was like, oh no, my knee and leg has totally stopped working. And the referee said to Candice Indy, you have to stay over there. Now, this is one of wrestling's dumbest spots, which means I secretly like it. Because in any other fight, that would be the match over. But here, let's all just calm down and take a timeout, like Zach Morris. Of course, LeRae is totally unhinged now, but she didn't care. She just whipped both these people's asses when she grabbed Katana's leg. She applied a submission, and of course she tapped out. She was injured. How utterly despicable. Now, the only issue I do have is that these matches are so short. If you had gone to, like, make yourself a snack, you probably would have missed it. And you know how any kind of wrestling works. When something only goes, like, 120 seconds, where you feel it in your tum-tum, you just struggle to engage as much. That part does get down. And while Candice is absolutely going to have to give us an explanation soon, I really like this change of character. She's totally crazy. Poor Indy the whole time is like, I don't know what to do. I'm being pulled in 2 different directions. I even say she's in a glass box of emotion. But it is way more interesting and entertaining though. And now I want to see what's going to happen. And it is just a television show. It's the whole point. Felt like Cody Rhodes had calmed down after the opening right after this. He decided, you know what? Now it's time to cut my big promo. Now, the chat all week has been that some people on the main roster may be a little bit sad panda, because The Rock is allowed to go out there and say whatever he wants, whereas they're told this is a PG company, so you watch your mouth. Now look, this is just life. Happens in sports, happens in movies, it happens in all of entertainment. There's a hierarchy. Just gotta go shrug emoji and deal with it. Clearly this had gone through to management though, because Cody had definitely been given a pass. He came out here with a microphone, and the irony, he basically cooked The Rock. He went after Rocky's social media part of his promo straight away when he was all like, you're walking around saying you're everybody's favorite heel. We know what that means. You think you're the bad guy. Well, like Cody Rhodes, I've known lots of heels. This is when he mentioned the likes of Bobby Heenan and Bill Graham, Arn Anderson, and Ric Flair. And while those guys were definitely heels, when it comes to our final boss, well, he's nothing but an asshole. Here we go. Cody also doesn't want he or his 7 Buck production friends to be upset. And even though last week The Rock had gone, ha ha, Cody cried on Raw, we all know behind the scenes, the biggest crier of them all is Dwayne Johnson, because he goes to the board members going, oh, this will be great PR.
until it wasn't.
The problem with these board members is they're all yes people, so they just go, yes, Dwayne, yes, Dwayne. Whereas Tony knows The Rock is nothing but a carny succubus. And if you don't know what that means, well, it means he's a whiny bitch. And everybody popped big for that. We then switched to the mothers because The Rock had introduced his mum, so now it's fair game. This was absolutely hilarious because Cody went, yeah, Rock, I know your mother too. And all the fans were like, what's he gonna say? Because he's the greatest babyface ever, he just went, yep, she's a stand-up lady. Man, do I love Cody Rhodes. The thing is though, the people's champion threatened Mama Rose, but here's the deal. She is tougher than all of them. And once even attacked an undercover cop at a Willie Nelson concert, I don't know. But do you think she's scared of The Rock?
She ain't.
You also told The Rock to put more respect on Seth Rollins' name because I think you've forgotten something here, Mr. Johnson. You haven't been in the ring in years, so what the flub is gonna happen when you finally step back into the squared circle? Because Rocky thinks he's gonna be bringing big Dwayne energy, whereas Cody thinks he has little dick syndrome. I mean, that's the most ridiculous thing anybody could say. But man, did he spit it with fire. All of this rules. He also gave credit of the Last Boss nickname to Brian Gewurz, which is gonna send everybody crazy, when he said, you don't even need to worry about that, because you are nothing more than Roman Reigns' side chick. So once again, he was cooking. It really was the right time as well, because people kept saying, Cody needs to come at him and throw some bombs, which he did do. And then of course he got interrupted. It was a Raw promo. Here came Paul Heyman. Now Rhodes wasn't putting up with him either. When he kind of dilly-dallied getting into the ring, he said he was gonna kill him like he was in Homelander. But here is the deal, because Paul does have some information. He knows that it's Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns, face-to-face on SmackDown. That's why the Tribal Chief has an offer. He will come by himself, as long as the American Nightmare comes by himself too. That sounded way worse than I meant it to. Now, once again, nobody should believe that, but it did put something in my brain. I was like, every single week we've seen The Rock, he's added something new, he's added something new, and he's added something new. So could he too get physical on SmackDown? I mean, probably not, because he's not advertised for the show, but you don't know. The biggest takeaway from all of this, though, is that Cody was great here, and of course, we did set up Friday night as well. So many people, obviously, me included, been like, oh man, at the end of WrestleMania 40, maybe Cody and The Rock are in cahoots, but not now. We have to find the time to do that one-on-one match, because it will be absolutely excellent. You should definitely go and watch this. It is my one to watch for this week's episode of Raw, and it is getting it up.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Nia Jax then reminded us that Becky Lynch had never beaten her on a sort of one-on-one contest, which is when I was like, I know what's going to happen now. Nah, you're going to lose. We also saw Jay have a quick chat with Cody, and this made all the sense in the world. It's like, bro, you don't actually believe what Paul Heyman just told you. But don't worry, because come SmackDown, I will be in the rafters like you Sting or something. And if you do need my help, I'll be there. Had a little tear in my eye. Dominic Mysterio was then trying to do right by the Judgment Day. He went Britney Spears here, because whoops, he did it again. Before he was facing Ricochet, and I'm so thankful that Rick did get the win here, because he has been off TV in ages, and he did come back last week, and he had a great showing, and then this week, he got the W, he needed it. JD McDonut was on the outside too, even though he kept trying to cause distraction, he totally screwed it up. At one point, Ricochet was done with this, booted him right in the face. I think that made Dom worry a little bit because he did go for the 619. He totally missed when he got hit with the recall. That was it. 1, 2, 3. JD even tried to attack after that, but once again he screwed it up, so I do think he could be in some trouble. And now we have to wait and see. Like, my big question would be, how does Ricochet fit into WrestleMania? Are we doing a battle royal, or are we going to do another big tag team match? I don't know, but in terms of entertaining me, we then kind of had the same for the IC title, because Sami Zayn and Chad Gable bumped into each other. I don't think they're friends anymore. Now, Sami was very nice here to begin with, because he was like, oh, yeah, it's a great match, loved it, lovely to see you. But Gable was a bit off-put here. In fact, he basically mugged him off. Eventually, Zayn pushed him because he wanted more answers when Chad did the whole, it just meant more to me. And quite rightfully, Sami was so annoyed. He's like, how do you know? Are you inside my feelings? Do you know my emotions? Also, I have children as well, and they were also pretty sad when I lost matches. So I started chuckling again. That man, we're having a kid off. Chad then let him absolutely have it because he was like, oh yeah, well, I don't think you can beat Gunther. And the pure sadness in Sami Zayn's eyes. And now I imagine Sami will win, and then we do this feud. I have no problem with that whatsoever. It tied in as well. It was then time for an intercontinental title contract signing. Of course it was. Once again, it's Raw. Gunther was hilarious straight away because he was like, dude, it's a contract signing. Why are you dressed like a bum? And that really annoyed Sami Zayn, obviously. He was like, man, that smug smile, I'm totally done with it. He also kind of talked about what Gable had just said. He's like, man, I get all this. You don't think that I can beat you, Mr. Gunther. But here's the deal. Some people didn't think I'd make it to WrestleMania. Now I am. And last year, who did I beat? It was the Usos. They were the longest reigning tag team champions ever. Now you're the longest reigning intercontinental champion ever. So damn it, I'm gonna do it again. That's a good line. He then signed the deal as Gunther tried to tell him you need to listen to Chad Gable, because he's totally right. All these fans may love you, but deep down in their tootsie toes, they know the same thing I do. When it comes to me, you can't win. Zayn then told him to look right in his eyes when they gave each other a kiss. Of course, that didn't happen. But he did say, now you're fixated on me. You are looking at the man that's gonna beat you at WrestleMania. He definitely didn't do that with his cheeks. That'd have been rubbish. Now, the actual best part of this is Sami was so annoyed he just left the ring, but the camera followed him all the way to the back, and when he passed R-Truth and The Miz, we just stayed there, and we went right into their segment. I was doing a round of applause, man. That was some good camera stuff. I'm also all in when it does come to this Gunther and Sami Zayn stuff, because when you throw Chad Gable in there too, all of them really do feel like they're speaking from the heart. Now, again, if you put a gun to my head, I think that Sami Zayn is going to win. There's the key word, think. I still have doubts, which usually makes the best matches up. We then stay with R-Truth and The Miz, who are chatting to DIY, and Miz was like, man, that's the kind of fire we need. When R-Truth freaked out, because he realized they had to face Inder Sheer, and these guys are pretty big, he didn't want to do it. Which, yes, did mean we were about to have another qualifier for the ladder match at WrestleMania. And you just heard who's having a fight. It meant Veer had come on Raw. Now, because of that too, I am going to throw a quick down in there, because Inder Sheer are absolutely ridiculous. They just disappeared for months at a time, and then they came back. So one, you never thought they were going to win, but two, what the flub did they do to get themselves in this position? Their win-loss record must suck. All the rest was totally fine though, because I love R-Truth, and Miz doesn't get the respect he deserves. And the finish to this once again made me laugh. Because look, the awesome Truth had this match won where they hit their flatliner skull-crushing combo finale, but then Sanger on the outside, well, he was being a goober. R-Truth realized this as well, so he went to get him. When Sanger elbowed him right in the face, he knocked R-Truth out and he landed right on Veer, who was still dead, on his combo finisher. And he got the 1, 2, 3. I don't know why it made me laugh so much. It was just so unnecessary. But actually, it turned out I needed it. So some people get so mad about R-Truth and The Miz, but I am not that person. In fact, they make me very happy. They are going to WrestleMania. Chad Gable and Sami Zayn then fell out again in the back. This Chad, man, he's like the ultimate hater. He may even get on the board. He just found Sam, started yelling at me again. Because his whole point now is that, listen, Sami Zayn, you're an underdog. The way you usually win is you find a hole, but the point is Gunther doesn't have any holes, he doesn't have any flaws, he's gonna brick you up and you're dead. So it was just a great way to get me more invested, and look, it is the Hater of the Year board. Of course, Drew McIntyre is still number one. That's not gonna change for a while. AJ Styles has moved up to two, because now all he does is turn up to wrestling shows, hit LA Knight with a chair, and then leaves before going, ha, you're not gonna see me for a while. Three is absolutely Candice LeRae. I mean, look at the evidence. Four remains Christian Cage, because, you know, all the things he said this year. And also, you know what, screw it. In at number five is Chad Gable, the man who walks up to very nice human beings and goes, ha, you suck. But they got this video for CM Punk, who of course is returning to Raw next week. But he also said, I'm going to be at WrestleMania. Now, his main reasoning for this is that you can't spell Philadelphia without Phil, which, of course, is his real name. So I guess A and Delphia are also going to be at WrestleMania. That makes me happy. I love those guys. It was then time to heat up our World Heavyweight Champion situation. And poor Drew McIntyre, man. He was making his entrance and looking very, very angry when Seth Rollins interrupted him straight away. And he did that thing again. He got in the ring and was like, oh, sorry, Drew. I didn't see you there. Mostly because I don't give a damn about you as a human. So he used the John Cena defense. And he also said, you know what, Drew, you are right. I am a sucker for the spotlight. In fact, I'm pretty much addicted to it. This made McIntyre so damn upset, because I tell you what else you are, a damn parody, because you keep saying how much this World Heavyweight Championship means to you and our Mania match, but you actually don't care, which is why come that day, I'm going to beat you. Rollins still promised to make the bloodline his bitches on night one, so they could get down to it on night two. And don't worry about it, Drew, because it will just be you versus me, and I'm walking away as the champ. McIntyre was then annoyed once again because Seth is still doing this damn stuff. Why are we talking about the bloodline? We should be talking about Drew McIntyre, and we should be talking about Seth Rollins, and we should be talking about this World Heavyweight Championship. And you know what else? When I do win that thing, it's not going to be the moment I deserve. It's going to be the moment that I earned. I was like, man, Drew has the best line. Seth then came back, though, because he's like, man, listen to you, McIntyre. You're such a hypocrite, because it's you that wants the spotlight. You keep walking around going, oh, when I won my world title at WrestleMania, I did it in a warehouse, which is true. So now you need to do it in front of all the fans. So you are just like me. The problem, though, is that Seth shines brightest when the lights are on, which means you're going to be disappointed come WrestleMania, because Drew McIntyre, you take it the L. So I thought this was really good, and it actually picked up this feud quite a lot. And surely the ending to this has to be the bloodline interfering, allowing Drew McIntyre to win that belt, because then he really does become the ultimate hypocrite. And can you imagine the promo he cuts after that? It could be one of the best of the entire year. I like this, the best work they've done for a while. Becky Lynch then responded to Nia Jax and said, listen, I'm laying it all on the line tonight because obviously my WrestleMania match is in jeopardy, but that's the way I live my life. And also, Nia, I think you're a massive goober. Before all that, though, it was time to get more entrants for our ladder match. It was the New Day versus Alpha Academy. Now, I really do like Otis and Tozawa, and I hope they do find their way to WrestleMania, but I was pulling for Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods here. I can't even explain it. I just felt like they deserved the call. Otis was also big man slapping man meat for a while, and he also hit the caterpillar when Tozawa tagged in. Man, he was flying around for a while. He hit a damn Hurricane Rana for a 1-2 ooh. Woods also got in there for a while and he hit a DDT, but eventually the long and the short of it is that Kofi went to deal with Otis and when Tozawa tried another Hurricane Rana, Woods was like, have you not played WWE 2K? You can't spam moves. He turned it into the bomb of power. He then climbed the top rope. He hit his big flying elbow thing and he got the win. So this was just the right thing to do and there's not much else to say about it, apart from the fact that ladder match is getting crazier and crazier. The dad side of me is a little bit worried about what we may do, making my body go weird. Liv Morgan then promised to stay out of the main event, which pleased Becky Lynch and probably gave her some confidence, when Cody and Seth bumped into each other and Rollins agreed not to come to SmackDown. I was like, what are you two guys doing? Of course they're gonna mug you off. That's what they always do. It did bring us to our main event after this though, and man, Nia Jax and Becky Lynch totally smashed it. They were also using a bunch of weapons, apparently through the commercial breaks too. When Nia Jax just grabbed Bex, she gave her a Samoan drop through some chairs. It is okay, she is Samoan, but I don't know what her connection to the chairs are. The 10 counts then started to begin because it was last woman standing. But when Lynch got back up, this is when Nia was like, wait a minute, this is a hardcore environment and I am a wrestler. So she had a kendo stick. The damn kendo stick, where do they all come from? WWE keeping kendo sticks ink in business. She also slammed Becky back onto the chairs and hit this massive leg drop, so she was really going at it. But when she went for another one on the ring apron, which is the hardest part of the ring, Becky got out of the way, which means Nia landed right on her ass. Becky then used a fire extinguisher, because that's another thing that wrestlers love to do, but it didn't work, because Nia just went, all right, well, I'll throw you through a table. When we got to big spot number one, because they were duking it out on the ring apron, Nia pretended she was going to do something when Becky Lynch reversed it into the manhandle slam and they went through a table on the outside and the bump that Nia Jax took, it looked horrible. The absolute highlight though is the finish, which is why I've kind of zoomed through here, because my gosh, after Nia was selling the effects of that, she was kind of stumbling over to Alan the announce table. When Becky set up a ladder, she went to the top rope and just as Jax was in the right position, she dropped a leg drop, and man, you have to see this. Naya's face went right into that thing. The timing was pretty much incredible. What a great sight. Thankfully, that was the ending as well, because you were never going to top that. And even Becky started like, whoa. And she'd done this earlier too, because after she got hit by the Annihilator, she had to roll out the ring. That was the only reason she was able to get to her feet. Rhea Ripley then came out afterwards to confront Becky, I suppose, because her last hurdle to WrestleMania is now overcome. And they looked at each other. When you do stare at your opponent, it means things are super serious. But honestly, shout out to both Becky Lynch and Nia Jax. This was an excellent main event. I really enjoyed it. And again, the only reason I flew through it so fast is because I wanted to talk about that finish. If you have 10 minutes today, absolutely tune in. It is getting it up. Which brought us to the end of Monday Night Raw, and I am so pumped for WrestleMania now. They must be doing something right. And as you can see, all our side quests are being pushed to one side at the ending of a Zelda game. Up. Now, of course, please do click the video on the screen, which is ups and downs for SmackDown, so you can see what I thought about the Rock concert. Blam, bam, bam. Like the video, share the video, and subscribe. Let me know your thoughts on Raw in the comments below. Otherwise, have the best damn day ever, my friends. Thank you for your time. See you soon.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.